I struggled this week. I thought, well, it's 9/11, and I probably, you know, I wanted to preach on about 9/11, but I just couldn't put anything together. It just seemed like it just wasn't right, you know. But God gave me this message that I'm going to share with you today, and because it makes us think. When things like this happens, it makes you think, oh, what in the world's going on? You know, why does things like this have to happen? And, you know, it really comes down to this. God is God, and He has not changed. Amen? God is God, and He has not changed. We can search and we can look, but listen, what happens, happens, and there's a reason why it happens. God has a purpose and a plan, and let me tell you, we don't change His plans. Amen? We'd like to, but we don't change His plans. You know, it's been said by some that to properly study humanity or humankind, then we have to study humankind, right? We have to look at what it is to be a human, right? But if we're going to study about Christians, if we're going to be a Christian person or people. How many Christians we got here this morning? Oh, I'm putting you on the spot. Some of you is like, yeah. Listen, if we're going to study about what a Christian is supposed to be, then we need to study who Christ is, right? Because it's all about Him. God is transforming us into His likeness. And, you know, I'm aware that Christ is the perfect example of what we should be. And I'm telling you that beyond what Christians are, we're not perfect, right? But Christ is our example. It's somebody we strive to be like. It's somebody who we want to be like. And that goes without saying that Christ is perfect, but it's into His likeness that we are being changed and transformed. And if God has begun a good work in you, the Scripture tells us that God will labor until that work is complete. Amen? Amen. Hear me this morning. Look at what the Bible says in Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
He started something in you whenever you became a follower of Him. And let me tell you, it will not be completed until we see Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You may be a Christian for 40 years, and guess what? He's still changing you. You may be a Christian for 10 days, and let me tell you what, He's changing you every day into what He wants you to be. You see, God's labor is not complete until it's totally finished. Once God has begun a work in a person's life, He will not stop until work reaches its completion. To understand Christians, it would be a good idea to study Christ. Now, I talked last week about how important it was, and I even put myself in a position to be looked at closely. Because it is important that we represent the Scripture properly. When I get up here and preach, I need to be preaching what the Word says, and what it says is truth and not my truth or not my opinion. Right? And if I'm not doing that correctly, somebody needs to tell me. But we need to study and read the Scripture so that we can see who Christ is. That's how we learn. It's not about what I say. You guys can hear a good message from me, or you can hear a message from any TV evangelist or many other pastors in this world that are teaching and preaching. But let me tell you, the Scripture was given for us to read and to study so that we can become more like Christ. Amen? Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
You know, a naturalist may boast about the ability to understand all kinds of things, you know, bugs and spiders and things like that. They can name them and they can give them names that we can't pronounce. I don't know why they do that, you know. They'll name this spider a certain thing that big old long words, you know, but we just call them spiders. There's only two kinds of spiders, right? There's good ones and bad ones. Well, there may be three because dead ones fall into that, right? You know. But, you know, we can learn all kinds of things and we can fill our heads full of all this knowledge. But is that knowledge valuable? Does it hold a moral value to it? That's the question. I mean, we can know a lot of things, but is it valuable? Does knowing every star in the sky, does it make a person better? If I'm a computer scientist and I know both hardware and software, will that knowledge make me into a virtuous person? You follow me this morning? But if we are to study Christ, to understand His love for the Father and His love for the world, there is a great moral value in that. When we study that, there is a great value in that. I heard once said that he often thinks of God has the ability to set his mind on godly things. This is of great moral and spiritual value to the soul. I love that. That's why Paul tells us in Colossians 3:2, set your minds on what is above and not on what is on the earth. There's lots of things on this earth that we can learn and see and do, but it's the things that are of above is what's important. Nothing will help a person more than to investigate godly things, to seek godly wisdom and God's guidance, to walk closer to Christ. That should be the desire of every Christian. I want to know more about Him. I want to study who Christ is so that I can be the person that Christ wants me to be. If I don't study and learn that, how do I know? Do you wish to become more godly? I would say most people are like, I want all the benefits of God. But, you know, do I have to really do anything? Is there an obligation to my faith? I want God's wisdom and guidance. I may not like it. There's times where God is going to commend you and there's times when God's going to spank your hind end. Right? I mean, that's just what He does. To walk closer to Christ should be the desire of every Christian. Again, I say, study Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end, the unchangeable One, the Eternal One. Listen to what God says in Malachi 3:6. I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed. Right there. I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed. You know, those that think of God will have a larger mind than the man who simply travels around this earthly globe collecting facts of all different sorts. But there's nothing will cleanse the soul of a person than earnestly and devoutly seeking and understanding Christ's sacrificial offering that He made on the cross. Amen. Christ is the one that heals every wounded soul, and Christ is the power that takes a broken and shattered life and puts it back together. Christ is the anointing oil for every festering sore of sin, and only He has the power to heal our brokenness. Only He has the power to forgive us. And only He has the power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So my challenge is study Him, pursue Him, build your relationship with Him, and come to know Him better. That's why the Scripture says, I am God, yes I am, and I haven't changed. from the beginning to the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, God hasn't changed. We've changed, but God doesn't change. Would you be freed from your sorrows this morning? Would you choose to be loosed from your cares? Would you desire to be washed clean from the stains of your unholy actions and your unholy thoughts? Then I would say, seek the knowledge of God. Seek the knowledge which comes from above. Seek godly wisdom by seeking God Himself. And I know of nothing that can cure a broken soul other than knowing the One who can. It's only God who formed the human soul, and it's only God who can fix it too. God says, I am God, and I haven't changed. This morning I want us to look at some facts that I've come up with of this unchanging God. And we sang that song a few minutes ago, He's unchanging. The first fact is that God's nature has not changed. He is infinite. He is almighty and He is all powerful and He has not changed ever. We change. And as children we grow, and just not physically but emotionally and socially as well. And it seems that our bodies are in a constant state of transition. As little children we grow, and not just like as toddlers, we seem to have an unending amount of energy, right? We run here and we run there and we discover all kinds of things and we get in all kinds of mischief and trouble. And during our adolescence, in youth, our hormones start to change and we find those of the opposite gender to be of interest now. And then we start dating, and then we get married, and then we raise families, and we become parents, and then grandparents. But with time, our body slows down, and aging takes its effect on all of us, and we don't run so fast. Some of us don't run at all. I say we don't kick as high as we used to, and some of us just can't even kick anymore. We don't see so well. We start to wear glasses, and then glasses aren't good enough, and then we don't hear so well, and then we got to get hearing aids, and then we got to turn them up. We got to get better ones. And then we don't think so well. We forget stuff, so we got to make a list. And then we forget where we put the list. Amen.
I'm encouraged.
You're encouraged? Praise the Lord. That's what I'm here for. God does not change. No, we change. But God does not change. God has no wrinkles on His brow, no age spots on His arms and hands. He does not get dark circles under His eyes from a lack of sleep. He is the great I Am, and He's the great unchangeable. And His essence does not change. Even when Christ became man, God's nature did not change, because flesh did not become God, but God became flesh and dwelt with men. By this act of the Godhead did not change, for God is a God that does not change. He remains everlasting and eternal, and the one unchanging God, the Father of lights, whom is there is no shadow. That's why we can say, that's why He can say, I am God. Yes, I am, and I do not change. A second fact is God's character does not change. Was He powerful when He created the universe? Was He mighty when He formed the mountains? Was He holy when He told Moses to remove his shoes for he was standing on holy ground? Did God speak the world into existence? I believe yes, absolutely yes. Of course He did. He was powerful then, and He is powerful now. And he has not changed. He has not aged. Was he wise when he put all things in order and when he set the stars in their place? Did he have wisdom when he planned the way of salvation? He did. From the beginning to the end. His ears hear no restrictions and his wisdom is unchanging from the beginning even till now. It has never, never, ever changed. Look at Psalms. If we read Psalms 104:24, it says, "How countless are your works, Lord. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." He has always been holy, and he has always been just, and he has always been wise. And that's why it's proclaimed in heaven, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And that is repeated over and over and over again in heaven because he is God and he does not change. He is unchanged love. He is unchanged justice. He is unchanged truth. He is unchanged goodness and he is unchanged generosity. God has not changed. And that's why the Bible says, God says, "I am God, and I do not change." Mercy and justice and faithfulness and wisdom and patience and holiness and compassion and any other attributes of God have not changed forever and ever. But it's not all. There's more. God's plans have not changed. He set His plan into motion in the beginning, and it has not changed. It's still on course to be completed. And let me tell you, God will complete His plan. A man, you know, started a journey but became sick on his day of departure, so he changed his plans. And another man was building a house, but before it was finished, he ran out of money, so he changed his plans. Has this ever happened to God? I can ask. No, it hasn't. He has never gotten sick. He has never changed his plan. The only time I can say that God got sick maybe is in Revelation 3:16, where he said, he told the church, he said, "There's one thing I have against you. You're neither hot or cold." And he said, "I'll spew you out of my mouth." God has never changed His plans. He's never run out of money. He cannot finish. He will finish what He started. Amen? He will finish what He started. You remember the verse earlier that I talked about in Philippians, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." What God started, His plans that He started, let me tell you, it will come to fruition. He will finish His work. Amen? Amen. Do you want to be a part of that? That's my question to you. Amen? You want to be a part of that? God wants you to be a part of that. God does not get sick. He does not run out of money. He's not forgetful. He has unlimited storehouses of supplies. And He is will always, always accomplish what He set out to do. Look at the promises that He makes for His children. Jeremiah 29:11. I love this scripture. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not for your disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Amen? Do you have hope in Him? Every person makes plans, and with some we're successful, but not all. God, however, is the mastermind. He knows all. He knows all the details. God does not alter His plans because He has a cold or flu or COVID or whatever. That doesn't affect God. Amen?
Amen.
He does not alter His plans because He has nothing to wear. You want to know why I don't wear a suit? Because I don't want to give anybody an excuse so they feel bad that they don't have nothing to wear to come to church. It's true. I've heard that for years. Somebody said, well, I don't have anything to wear at church. Well, does that matter to God? Scripture tells us that God doesn't look at the outward appearance of a man. He looks at what's inside of a man. It's about what's inside. It's about what's going on. God will take care of the rest of it. It's not up to me. It's up to God. He doesn't alter His plans because you don't agree with them. Man, there's a lot of people who try to change God's plans because they don't agree with God's plans. Man, look around today in this world. People are all the time trying to change God's plans, but let me tell you, God's plan will come to fruition. God's plans are from the everlasting to everlasting. They do not change. They do not get adjusted. He is the everlasting God, the mighty one, the holy one, and His plans will be accomplished. And why should He change? He's God, right? Isn't that what He told Job, really? I'm God. That's what He told Moses. He said, who do I say you are? And He says, I am that I am. Because I'm God. We may change our plans, but let me tell you, God may step in and help you change your plans. That's what He did to me in my life. When I got saved, He changed my plans, right? I had all kinds of big plans and dreams and stuff that I wanted to do. But when I got saved, I started listening to Him instead of listening to me, and God changed my plans. God wants to help you. He changes plans for your welfare, not for your disaster. He has plans for your future and for your hope. God's promises, fact number four, actually, God's promises have not changed. What God promised, He will do. He does not change His promises. You can find His promises all throughout the Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and God's promises do not change. We're sure like the sweet promises of God, don't we? We like them. But what if one of those promises changed? What if one of those promises turns out to be false? Where would we be then? Amen?
Amen.
If not all of God's promises are true, then none of them are true. Hey? I believe they're all true. We can't just pick and choose what we want to believe in. If one's true, it all has to be true. Amen?
Amen.
God is always yes or no. That's His words. That's His promises. It's either yes or no. Throughout the Scripture, it's either yes or no. He does not change. He does not give you a promise one day and take it back the next day. He does not work that way, does He?
No.
I like the way here the Message Translation Bible says this in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. It says, God can't break His word. And because His word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. I love that. Man, a promise is never a promise if it's changing all the time. And I don't know about you, but I want something solid. I want something that is truth. I want something that's real. And let me tell you what, when you've got a relationship with Christ, it is real and it's true. Amen?
Amen.
People can ask, how do you know you're saved? And I was like, well, I can't explain it to you, but if you're saved, you know it. Right? You know it in your heart. You know that you're saved. There's no doubt in your mind at all because you know you're saved. There's an old song that we sang years ago, and I don't think we've sang it in a while, and it's called Standing on the Promises of God. I love that song. The words of it is standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. I love that. When the howling storms of doubt and fears assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Are you standing on the promises of God this morning? My last point this morning is God's love does not change. Amen. You know, from the beginning of time, God has loved you. From the beginning of time. From the beginning of time, God has loved you and me. And it says in Ephesians 1:4, He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In love. The Message Bible says it like this: long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love to be made whole and holy by His love. God loves us with an everlasting love, and God loves us with an unchanging love. And I know that many of you here are parents, as well as my wife and I. And you know, I love the age that my children are now, but I remember when they were little, I've always loved my kids, no matter what age they were. And I remember they always like to get dirty, don't they? You give them a little rainstorm and there's a mud puddle and they're going to find it. It seems like it's a magnet to kids. And if there was a mud puddle, Madison usually, not Jacob as much, but Madison, she just loved it. I mean, she was filthy all the time. I mean, you know, I remember those times in the car seat in the back. You know, you get tired of those things, but you know, those are memories you don't forget. You know, when you got them in the little onesie and they're sitting in the back seat, and all of a sudden you hear something and you smell something, and then the next thing you know, you're pulling over the side of the road, and yeah, it's not pretty. They're dirty. Clear up the back. Hey, you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
Then it's, you know, when a garden hose is not around, you know. But listen, you know, our kids, they get out and they love to play in the mud, and they like to get themselves all messed up and covered, and they like to have fun, and that's okay. But I didn't quit loving them because they got dirty. Or because they had a blowout in the back seat of the car and I had to throw the car seat away and get a new one. Or sell the car. You know, I didn't give them up for adoption because they were dirty, and I didn't disown them because they were playing in the mud. And they still were my children, and there was nothing wrong with them that a little bit of cleaning up wouldn't do. Fix. A little scrubbing wouldn't fix them. And we, you know, I know you're like me, and take them and put them in the bathtub and scrub them up and clean them up again. And they were always my children, no matter how dirty they got. But the same is true with God. The same is true with God. So many of His children get all dirty and muddied up from the sins of this world, and it doesn't stop the love that God has for His children. He may not have approved of it, but He still loves you. He still loves me. And that's why the Scripture tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. He takes us and He puts us in a place and cleans us up. And that's what He wants to do with us every day. He takes you and He cleanses you and He molds you into the Christ-likeness. And that's one thing we need to do. We need to confess our sins. We need to confess that we are a fallen people, that we are dirty and that we need to be cleaned up and we need to be washed by the Father. And let me tell you, He'll do it. Why? Because His Word tells us so. That's the promise that He gives us. That's the love that He has for us. And that does not change. It does not change. He has always loved you and me. He will always love you and me because His love is unchangeable. It reaches to the highest heaven, but it also reaches down to the lowest cesspools of sin on earth. He knows our sins and He knows our faults and He wants to clean us up. And so my question is what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it today? Are you going to let Him clean you up? Because let me tell you, He's faithful and He's loving and He's forgiving. God's love for you has not changed. No matter how muddied up or dirty that you've gotten. So when you leave here today, I want you to remember this short scripture in Malachi. I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just praise You, Lord. I thank You for Your unchanging love. Lord, I thank You for Your promises that You've given us. Lord, let us be followers. Let us be diligent in our studies to learn how You want us to be. Lord, as we leave here, we do not leave You. Lord, You go with us. You never leave us or forsake us. No matter what happens in our life, no matter if we've fallen away from You or we're walking close to You, You still love us. So Lord God, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit fall here this morning. Lord, we need You, Lord. Lord, I praise You. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need You. Oh, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need You. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have a wonderful week, a wonderful day. May God bless you all.